good morning, family. Let's all stand together. And let's lift our voices in praise to the Lord.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the way. The same God who's never late is working all things out. Is working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
To see you this morning. I want to especially welcome the members of the Baltimore County Police Department for coming and hanging out with us. Can we welcome them together this morning? Good morning, y'all. Man, we do praise the Lord for the work that you guys are doing. We thank you for what you do sacrificially and selfishly. And so we're just blessed and honored to have you guys join us this morning. So hope you guys get a feeling of that while you're here. We pray that something in the service blesses you this morning. All right, well, family, man, it is excited to be together. We're going to continue to worship this morning. We're going to lift our voices together and sing a hymn that we know really well. We're going to declare that God is our mighty fortress. Let's lift our voices together.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal is prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe.
Stands true forever and ever. We take our refuge in you. We find our rest in you. We praise you this morning as our King, as the King for all things.
Music, but it's all.
Praise the Lord. He is the God who reigns forever. This morning, or this week, rather, I was reading through Psalm 27. And if you haven't read Psalm 27 recently, because many of us have read it, but if you haven't read it recently, read it. Like, read it. You need to. But I was reading it and preparing for this week and thinking about the music for this week. And it's interesting. You have this moment where David is clearly in trouble. He's clearly surrounded by some adversaries, and we've all experienced that. And yet within, every time he kind of mentions his adversaries or mentions his troubles and obstacles, he always mentions, you know, there's always something that references back to the goodness of God, referencing back to he won't fear because he knows he's resting in the Lord. And so there's this interesting part where God says to him, he says, "Seek me." And David says, "I will seek your face, O Lord." And so I don't know about you guys. We just sang a song about God being our mighty fortress, and we sang a song about Christ our King. We sang a song about, yes, we will praise in the lowest valleys. And so I don't know about you guys. Some of you guys have been walking with the Matthews family through some lower valleys, which is awesome. And so we appreciate that. But in the sight of whatever obstacles or difficulties you're going through, how great to know that we have the mighty fortress, our God, to rest in and trust in. That was the trust that David had in Psalm 27. If you haven't read it, you got to read it. You got to read it. But it ends like this. Psalm 27 ends like this. "I will see the goodness of the Lord when," you guys remember? "In the land of," some of you guys know, "in the land of the living." Yeah. "In the land of the living." That's pretty cool, because a lot of times I think we get caught up in the goodness of God. We'll only see it at the end, in eternity. We're only going to see it. But if you're looking, if you're seeking God's face like David, you will see the goodness of the Lord today. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I can't promise you it's going to be what you want it to be. But what I can assure you is that God is always good, and his goodness is always visible. In the seasons that are low for the Matthews family, one of the ways that we see God's goodness in the land of the living is through the love and encouragement of our family. That doesn't mean we're not in a low season, or that doesn't mean you're not in a low season, but you can see God's goodness in the encouragement of his saints. So this morning we're gonna close our time singing a song again, one that we've sung before, but one that at the bridge it says, "I've seen you move the mountains, I believe you'll do it again." We can say that confidently, not a prosperity gospel thing. We can say it confidently because God's word promises that we will see his goodness in the land of the living when we seek his face. Let's worship together.
Your word will come to pass. My heart.
praise you that you have never failed us presently. Even when we think you failed us, you never fail us. And so, Lord, we pray for humility in the face of where we don't understand the way what you're doing. And Lord, we pray for deeper faith, deeper trust, deeper willingness to follow and obey what your word is commanded, what you have commanded to us. God, we thank you so much for a morning like this where we get to gather together as family and lift your name and praise you together with people of the same heart. God, we thank you even that we're joined by those who put themselves on the front lines to protect us and, Lord, to serve our community, to ensure that we're able to gather in a setting like this. God, we thank you for them as well. God, this morning we pray that you will continue to draw us closer to you through our understanding of your word. God, we love you. We praise you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys may be seated, and kids, you guys are dismissed.
Morning, everybody. Thank you, worship team. I was right there with you the whole time. Man, that was awesome. The theme of Do It Again, Suzanne and I just have had a great weekend. Hey, how about this weather, right? Thank you, Lord. That's good stuff. Man, it's nice that crisp feeling in the air is awesome. Grateful for where we live and the seasons that God gives us. Suzanne and I were spent the weekend with some old friends from school. Getting old. It used to be that the guys who showed up for the 30th reunion were the old guys, and now the old guy's me. We were down at school and gathering with some brothers and some sisters who I've known for a long time and who have, in many ways, are in deep need of Jesus. And I've just known that for a long time, just burdened, and there are ones that I'm close to and have been praying about for over the years, and I just had this amazing conversation in the light of this Do It Again song, and I've seen you move. I've seen you move the mountains. I'm standing across from another man who I deeply respect, Marine fighter pilot, commander of Marines, who met Jesus in a personal way over the past 5 years. And we just looked at each other. Here we are, football game in the background and all this rah-rah and all this blue and gold everywhere. And I just cried because God is incredible and he's still moving. If he can soften the heart of a crusty Marine, he can soften the heart of you or whoever you're praying about. So that is why we're here. Happy fall. My name is Pastor Chris. I got a couple announcements for you. We got a full schedule, so I want to keep moving a little bit. If I haven't met you before, I would love to meet you after the service. I think Pastor Dave and I might try to scoot out and try to meet people out there in the hallway. A couple announcements, because we got so much stuff going on over the next few weeks. First of all, Wednesday, October 18th, so it's not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, you guys got the slide for us, Beachmont Corn Maze. We're hoping to see everybody. We had about 400 or so last year. We'd love to see 500 come out, so that means you got to bring a few friends. The Perry Hall Christian's going to be there as well. It's just us. We've got the place to ourselves, so it's a great night to just hang out a little bit, run through the maze slowly, fast, whatever you do, and then just hang out and fellowship and eat some food and all those things. That's from 6 to 9 p.m. We'd like you to purchase the tickets by October 17th. Really easy to sign up for this stuff on our website, Discover More, that takes you to all our events, or on Church Center. And even those emails that you get have links embedded in them, and you can click through and register. Then the next thing I want to promo is something Suzanne and I are super excited about. So on Saturday night, a couple Saturdays from now, October 21st, you guys got me? You got me? Oh, there it is. All right. It's nice and slow. Okay. In the refinery at 5:30, from 5:30 to 8:30, we're having a game night. And so what this does not mean is that we're going to sit around and play Parcheesi, although I'm told Parcheesi can get kind of intense. I've heard that. But we're not playing board. It's going to be like a game show. We're going to transform the refinery to a game show studio, and tables are going to compete against tables. It's going to be a ton of fun. And right now, there's a lot, and we're going to feed you, too. And it's going to be good food, not church food. It's not hot dogs, okay? Thank you, Lord, for hot dogs. Just not all the time. Okay, and so good stuff. So there's a couple personality types out there. Some of you are like, yeah, I don't really like games. Well, right now, your spouse is looking at you and be like, we need to go. We're going. So go ahead and give him the elbow. Give her the elbow. We're going anyway. You're going to have fun. The whole point is to sit together. And we're going to fellowship. We're going to have a little, we're just going to laugh a little bit. And there's going to be some decent prizes as well. It costs $30 a couple. And you can't go out to eat for less than probably $50 nowadays. So it's a screaming good deal. And you're going to meet some people you don't know. And we're going to laugh a lot. And we're going to set ourselves up for some getting together as married couples in the future a little bit. And so we got a bunch of people working on this, making it a super fun night. Need you to register, though. Need you to register. Don't do the last minute thing. Because if you register, I'm going to sit you with the people you don't like if you register late, okay? And but if you register now, I'll sit you with your friends. Is that a good deal? We're just going to have a great time on Saturday, October 21st. Click through on that link. We'd like to get a head count by the end of this week. That's when registration is going to close. So please, por favor, join us and laugh a little bit. Finally, chili cook-off. Couple Sundays from now, three Sundays from now, in the gym right after service, immediately after the service. And everybody's asked to register. We got to get a head count. That gym fills up pretty quick. And then there'll be plenty of chili. There'll be some judging going on. And we're asking for people to either bring a side dish or dessert based on your last name. And you'll be up there. It's in your email. It's on the registration page, all that. Side dish or dessert, and you can figure it out. Always a good time. And you got to eat lunch anyway. You might as well eat with your besties here at Prairie Hall Baptist. Love you guys so much. I'm going to hand this over to Pastor Dave because he has a word or two for our public servants here who are gathered. Thank you.
That was more cheesy, wasn't it? Thank you, Pastor Chris. I was an observer in this Parcheesi game that Pastor Chris mentioned. It was at my house. Jamie and Josh were visiting. We're happy to have them. A couple of my kids were playing, and I was finishing up my studies. I don't know if Parcheesi is supposed to be so loud and noisy and obnoxious and competitive and conflicting and dangerous. I don't know if Parcheesi is like that. I just don't know what it's. But I can tell you that I had to stop studying because there was not one place in my house I could concentrate. For whatever goes on, I don't even know how to play Parcheesi, but it was out of hand. And so they seem to be having fun. Beachmont, just a reminder to what Chris said. We need you to sign up. It was 500 last year. We're going for 600 this year. I'm going up, Chris. This has been a tough year for the corn maze. I'm just letting you know. Because of the weather, we're down. So I'm asking for you all to help us along with the school and be there. It's going to be a wonderful night, and hopefully we can show up in mass. As you probably know already by seeing some of our friends from Baltimore County here, this is a special day for us. And this is a day that we join with churches and faith groups all over the country in honoring our police officers. We're glad that they're here. And I would just like to ask them at this time to come up and join me on the stage. All of our Baltimore County police officers could come up here, please. And I would like to invite police officers that are part of our congregation. Jeremy, come up. I think Jen Denny is so tired of me making fun of her, she actually is probably hiding somewhere. She's online? That's ridiculous, Jen. You're going to do that. Keep your thoughts to yourself. I'm talking. Thank you, guys. Thanks for being here. So this is a day that we've set aside to honor police officers. I had a chance to hang with a few of them in my office, Brian, Tracy, and Eric, for a few minutes, and just let them know this is not some sort of grandstanding for us. Our church loves our police officers, and we pray for them regularly. I'll say a few things about that prayer in just a minute. I would like Brian to share a few words, Captain Brian Edwards. He's been here with us before. He is a dear friend and a brother in Christ, and I would like him to share a few words of encouragement. I will remind you in advance that he will not only give some words of encouragement, and in some way he will probably ridicule me. So I'm just preparing you that, and to take some of the air out of his balloon so that you're prepared for whatever is coming. I don't even know what's coming. But we'll let him come up here, and no matter what he says, I love this guy. So come on up here and give me a hug. Now let me give you a microphone. I'm afraid to give him a microphone. I wasn't going to give him one. But there you go, brother. So have fun, and I'll just take whatever you say.
Thank you. So this is now our third year celebrating Faith in Blue Weekend here at Perry Hall Baptist Church. But it's Faith in Blue is a movement across the country to join our faith institutions with our police departments in partnership as much as in prayer and support for each other. And so this is happening all over the region, all over the country. But But Pastor Dave said it's far more than that here. And I won't ask that we do this again this year because it went so well last year. We'll leave it at that. But last year we asked for a show of hands for people in the congregation who had been praying for our officers steadfastly throughout the year. And so many hands went up. It was really heartening to us. So that's one of the things that we're asking for again this year. In the meantime, from last year to this year, I was transferred, and I'm now in the training division, and so I have a different assignment. Captain Keith Frueling, who grew up right here in Perry Hall, is the Parkville Precinct Commander. He couldn't be here this morning. And then also just wanted to let you know that the officers you see before you is just a small representation of officers that are out today at area churches, joining with their congregations, joining with our community in the Faith in Blue weekend. There's some other folks, and I want to speak a little bit on calling. And so there's some other folks that I would want to invite up, and that's retirees from the profession, and one in particular, Kevin, who's a member of your congregation. I want Kevin to come up. Any other retirees from law enforcement, feel free to come up.
Ron and Jim.
Excellent. Thank you. And as we know with calling, calling is not necessarily during one season of our life or another. Sometimes callings can be different. My calling now at work is a little different as the academy instructor as opposed to the precinct commander. But this message kind of fell on me a few weeks ago, and instantly I knew this is something I wanted to share. And it's I was reading in Ezekiel, and here comes the part where I might... I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, and I think that's probably true of a lot of us. It's hard to understand. It's hard to read. So I had to go back. This kind of caught me in Ezekiel 33, and this is where I'll ask, when's the last time anybody here read Ezekiel this past year? Wow, this is outstanding.
Cool.
I was just looking for your hand, Pastor Dave.
Did I read it?
That's...
in the last year, yes.
In the last year, excellent.
In the last year,
excellent.
Yes. Excellent. Good. In the last year.
So by chapter 33, I got to admit I was a little bit lost. It's a repeating pattern over and over of God speaking to Ezekiel. And how interesting is it that God speaking directly to somebody can become mundane? And over and over and over, he's speaking to Ezekiel. And in the midst of several messages delivered directly to Ezekiel, he stops in Ezekiel 33 and he renews Ezekiel's call as watchman. He'd already given Ezekiel a call as watchman, and I had to stop and I had to go back. In Ezekiel 3, he gave Ezekiel the call as a watchman. And as a watchman, he said, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them a warning from me." He entrusted Ezekiel with delivering his message to the people. And then in Ezekiel 33, he just stops in the middle and renews that. And I went back a couple chapters, and I didn't see where Ezekiel was falling off of his calling. I didn't see where Ezekiel was not following through with God's calling. But God recognized right then and there, I'm going to renew Ezekiel's calling. I'm just going to speak that to him again right now. And it makes me think of policing, law enforcement, that, you know, we can work our whole careers not ever feeling called. And a lot of the younger officers in the academy, getting to talk to them, not very many of them are in touch with their calling. We can then work our whole careers feeling called and not realize where that calling is coming from. And then yet we can also become aware and we can become alive in our calling directly from God. And when that happens, amazing things can transform that person only through the power of Christ, only through the power of God delivering that calling. And so everybody's going to get a card or people are going to take names off of the board outside. I would ask you this year in particular, pray for our officers that they would be renewed in their calling. They may not need that renewal right now, but pray that they be renewed in that calling. Pray for those that don't know that they are called to know that they are called. And pray for those that know that they are called and don't know where it comes from to be aware of where that call comes from. But I want to actually kind of turn this a little bit more back to the church. I want you all to be prayerful for each other and for your church and for Pastor Chris and Pastor Dave and the elders, that they would be renewed in their calling right where they are.
Amen.
for the pastors, you know, we get to observe their heart. We get to observe them caring for us. We get to observe them putting on something like this to care for all of our officers and take care and shepherd their soul. And oftentimes they can get lost in that. And so for Pastor Dave, in particular, I'll be prayerful for you this year that you would be renewed in your calling right here.
Amen,
in Perry
brother.
Hall.
Thank you, brother.
Each of the officers that you see up in front of you have the general calling to be a protector, to be a shepherd, to be an enforcer at times. But we have a couple middle school SROs. Where are they? There we go. They're SROs in two of our local middle schools. We have our domestic violence coordinator at Parkville, Matt. We also have a high school SRO, and that is a slightly different calling than a middle school SRO. We have our area major, Dee Camelli, who is in charge of all the precincts on the east side of Baltimore County. And then again, representing the academy staff. Each of us have a different calling in the spot right where we are. And I'll be prayerful for each of you that we would be renewed in our callings as well. To our retirees, I thank you. You have raised and loved and shepherded us while you were on the job. And now we also know that you do the same thing through Perry Hall here in retirement. Kevin's a great example that I wanted to share. Kevin was the first night that I was on field training in 1995, I rode with Kevin. Kevin and I worked off and on together for most of my career. I would say I spent most of my career knowing that I was called, but not knowing who I was called by. And I think the same is similar of Kevin if you got to see his story and his baptism here earlier this year. So Kevin's a great example, and I would join in similarly that there are officers. There's 1,900 officers in Baltimore County. There's 100 officers in Parkville Precinct. There are many that represent Kevin and my story, where we spent most of our life serving and didn't quite know where that service and that calling for service came from. So with your prayers this year, we thank you. We feel those prayers. We receive those messages. And I would ask you that the intention this year would be similar to God's call to Ezekiel of renewing his calling.
Amen, brother. Are you sure you're done?
Do you want to break? You want to take the weekend off?
I'm just feeling really good for the love, and you let me off the hook this week, so I'm gonna be nice to you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna change course. If you are one of the folks that has been praying for our police officers by the card on your fridge, please stand if you've been doing that. If you've been one of the ones praying for these officers. Stay standing. How many of you on your way in today grabbed a card? Those that did that, please stand. Stay up, stay up. So to our police officers on the stage and to maybe 90 some others, you're all being covered in prayer every day by somebody here, but we're going to actually do a little bit better. We're going to add your names to the board again, and that means anybody here that has not gotten a card, the card is waiting for you outside. So the rest of you, I know you would like to pray. When you leave here, let's not leave one name on that board that will not be prayed for. Okay? Stay standing. We're going to pray all together for them. Thank you for all of you that are praying. I'm sure those that didn't get a card last year are also praying. We're called to pray for our leaders. And I would just echo Brian's words that there is a call upon the lives of these individuals. It's a divine call. This is different than a call to salvation, although they're all called to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But there is a biblical call on law enforcement officers. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, simply go to Romans 13 and you'll see that they have been appointed by God to be his instruments of civil care and justice and to serve and to protect. So they have indeed a call, and Brian is praying that we would see them find renewal in that call. So when you leave, pick up those cards, keep praying. I'd like to see all of us have a card. And so now join me as we pray for all of our police officers. Our Father, we have set aside this moment in our service and in our year to take a missionary moment in the sense of, Lord, that we want to give honor and respect where it is due. These men and women that serve our community have been called by you to be your instruments of blessing and, when necessary, your instruments of justice and protection. And, Father, in some cases, they bear the sword. And, Father, we pray that you would protect each and every officer of the 1900 simply in Baltimore County, but all police officers. You'd protect them. You'd keep them safe as they protect us. Father, would you watch over their families? May you protect them from any disunity that comes because of the stress of their vocation. Father, may they feel and sense the prayers of your people. Father, may you watch over them as they do their work as unto you. And Father, for police officers that may at this point not have a personal relationship with you, that would be our heart, Father, that they would hear something today or maybe in some other circumstance where they would come to hear the glorious good news of Jesus Christ in a way that is stops them in their tracks and confronts them with the reality that there is a meaning and purpose to this life, and this is a broken world, and everyone desperately needs to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Where there is need for repentance and confession and turning to you, Father, do that work for your glory. And now we pray that each officer standing behind me and those that are around us and those that are in our community, may they know of your presence. May you bring a situation, a circumstance, or a voice that would introduce them in maybe a new way to the saving love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for them. Thank you for letting us say we love them and we care for them. And Father, may we be faithful to pray for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And folks, if you could just, Cindy and Ada, come up. We're going to give a gift to each one of you before you leave as you just gradually come off the stage. Thank you all for being here again. Thanks again so much for being back with us. Thank you. Tracy, thanks again for being here. Hang in there. I won't preach especially long today. Okay, Matt, thank you for being here. Appreciate you doing. John, thank you for all you've done. You stay, you got your stuff. Are you lost? See, these gifts are based on looks. And so they're trying to get them right. We're going to get this done. Brian's down there. What, do you do this in alphabetical order or something, Ada?
No.
We good. Thank you so much. Thank you again. Let's give him one more hand, folks. You can go ahead down. Had really good comeback for you, Brian, and now I'm going to pass on it. So we'll do that another time. If you have your Bibles, please turn in them to 1 Thessalonians. You can look on your phone for sure. 1 Thessalonians, a letter written so many years ago, almost 2,000 years ago, to a very new and infant church, and we've been journeying through. Jody, my fault, dear. So would you pray for us? I mean, would you do the scripture next week? Okay, thank you. Oh, boy. I've had two major faux pas this week, so it's very humbling. But I'll just have to move on through it and trust the Lord will be gracious. Jody still loves me. 1 Thessalonians, before you turn to chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. As we look at the scriptures today, folks, as we enjoy our guest, as we enjoy many of the guests that are with us today that I've had a chance to meet, be my heart that you would receive the words today, not as a word from Dave Moyer, but these are the words of God. They are not a word about God. They are the word of God. And it's my prayer that everyone here would receive these words as such. These words that are at work in our lives. My prayer is if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have received them and you've accepted them. And if you're new here today or visiting with us, this is of the utmost importance to us that you know that our fundamental proclamation today is to be faithful to preach the word of God. And I pray that you would receive it as what it is, not a word from man, but as a word from him. Now we can turn over to what Jody was supposed to read. I don't know if Jody's here today. She was supposed to read the scriptures. Must have forgotten. Chapter 5. We will read 12 to 22 of chapter 5. We ask you, brothers, to respect those, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's stop there for today and let's pray. Father, again, we have had a wonderful time celebrating our friends in law enforcement. We've had a wonderful time worshiping in song. We've bowed our heads and closed our eyes and prayed on a couple different occasions this morning because we are asking for your help. We're demonstrating our dependence. We're acknowledging our need. Father, this is one of the most exciting things we get to do as your people is to gather together and to worship together. And at the centerpiece of it all is your precious word. Father, may we find it precious. May it be sweet to us today. And may we taste it and see that you are good. Father, would you do a work as you have promised with your word this morning? You know every heart sitting here today, and you know where we are in our walk. You know our proximity to you or our distance. Father, and we ask that you would help us listen well, to be attentive for the next few minutes. Father, we are expecting, because you've promised to do so, that you will do your work in our hearts and minds today. Father, if anything I say is different than what one may believe, if it doesn't accord with someone's exact interpretation, I pray you'd give us patience as we work through this together and realize we sometimes see things differently, but we have a desire to interpret your word well, and so we ask for your spirit to help us with that. Father, fondly, I pray for Israel as there is a war afoot and lives lost in a place that matters to you and among a chosen people. And so, Father God, without getting all the details, thankfully you know every one of them. May you have your way. May you protect. May you empower. May you do your work as you see fit for your own glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. We are looking at this passage. This is our second to last message. We have one more next week. We talked last week about the radical nature of family life. The radical nature of family life. In other words, to be a compelling, attractive church that honors God in how we treat our leaders, in how the leaders lead, in how we love one another, and how we pursue God as individuals before Him. We looked at it from the perspective broadly as a radical, radical nature of the church. Radical in that it will look different to the world, and radical because it's impossible to do on our own, so we need radical intervention of the Holy Spirit to live the way that God called us to live. I'm going to pick up on part two of the family life in the church with the idea of it being a loving life. So we've looked at it's a radical life, and now it's a loving life. Hopefully you have the handout. If you don't, it's just two simple points this week. When we talked about leaders last week, we were looking at the relationship between leaders in a church, shepherds to the flock, leaders to the body, or leaders to the family. And we also looked at the response of the church family to respect and to know and to esteem their leaders. And at the end of verse 13, it even says, "Let there be peace among you." What a peaceful church when leaders live godly lives and are faithful to the word. And when we love one another well, and when we love back our leaders the way God intended. So today, part two of that, and we're only going to look at verses 14 to 16, or maybe 18, I'm sorry. So here we are, picking up in verse 14. It says this, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Verse 15, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Loving life. The family in the church, we've talked about it often. Even in this book, Paul commends in chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. He commends the Thessalonians for loving each other well. In chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, Paul also says to them, "You are doing a great job with brotherly love." And Perry Hall Baptist Church, let me say to you, in many ways, we're doing a wonderful job loving one another. Praise God for that. And by extension, loving our friends in the police department today. But Paul goes on to give a whole series of exhortations. It's almost as if Paul says, "You're doing great, but there's always room for growth. Did you know we haven't yet arrived? We are still in progress." There's, to use that often used phrase in the New Morning Mercies devotional, we are not grace graduates yet. So Paul goes on to give these exhortations. And folks, I'm going to do this very quick. This is not Dave Moyer style. There was a part of me that wanted to take 16 weeks to go through this. But for reasons we believe the Lord has made it clear, we've got a different way that we're going to move forward through the fall, into the winter, and into the January term. And so this is an overview of a family. We are a family that loves one another well. And it's a good time to examine your life and say, am I loving that way? And Paul is going to give us here quickly five ways to look at how we love. I'll give you them and count them and then explain them. Verse 14, after he says, "I urge you." And by the way, you can see something has taken place when he keeps using this term brothers. In Paul's writing, brothers means brothers and sisters. Verse 12, he says, "I ask you, brothers." Verse 14, "I urge you, brothers." Please hear, brothers and sisters. He then says the five areas that demonstrate our love for one another. In verse 14, to admonish the idle, to encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, to be patient with one another and to all, and to not repay evil for evil. You hear that? These are the admonitions. Now, what's different about this than chapter 5, verses 12 and 13? In verse 12, he says, I ask you. In verse 14, he uses this word in Greek. It's called parakaleo, to come alongside, to call alongside, to help. So it means to encourage, but it means stronger than that. It means to exhort, beseech, plead. There's an intensity here with what Paul is saying. And by application to all of us here at Perry Hall Baptist Church, he is saying, I am urging you, Perry Hall. This is the way you show your love for one another. So some of you always will say to me, I love the application part. So here we are at the end of this letter, which had no chapters, had no verses. It was one big letter. Paul, at this point, is trying to give some final exhortations and admonitions, and he gives five rapid fire, and it continues, but for right now, loving one another, five of them, and he starts off with this urgent plea, almost as if to say, listen, this matters. Number one, he says, I want you to admonish the idle. Then, and that would be what we would call today, this is the one that's tough love. Tough love, firm. Then he moves into what would be maybe tender love. And he says, comfort or encourage the faint-hearted. Then he says, help better than help. The word help is okay, it's not great. It means to hold up, to hold tightly, to lift up. And then he says, not only help the weak, but be patient with everyone. And then he says that we should not repay evil. So let's look at them briefly and see how we do. Admonish, verse 14, to admonish the idle. Number one, admonish. This is that word, nuthetetteo, something like that in Greek. And it means to admonish, to warn, to caution. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you notice the call of elders and leaders in verse 12, it said we were to, as leaders, Chris, me, the elders, are to admonish you. But this pastoral duty, in formal way, pastoral shepherds, informal co-shepherds, pastoral, we are also called to admonish one another. We are especially called in this passage to admonish the idle, whatever it is. Here's the deal. There's better words here. That does not mean it's a poor translation. The word can mean idle. But the word actually is a military term. And it's a military term that says, don't get out of a line. It would speak of an undisciplined, unruly, irresponsible military person that gets out of rank. They don't hold their own. They have fallen out of order and they become irresponsible. They become undisciplined in their lives. So Paul starts with this brotherly, big brotherly love, as some have called it, and he says, admonish, warn, caution the ones that are idle. And we read in chapter 4 and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he does talk to people that are not working. So hence, this is why this word idle. They're not doing their job. Now, we don't know exactly why they weren't doing what they were supposed to. It could be because they thought the Lord was returning soon. And what might you do if you think the Lord's going to return soon? Well, I don't need to work. I just need to get ready. So they weren't holding their end of the bargain. So they had become, some would use the word lazy. However, I like the word irresponsive or undisciplined. I believe it fits. And remember, when we look at these Greek words, we don't just look at Scripture. We look at how the word was used in its context in the Greek culture of the day. And the primary meaning is undisciplined, out-of-rank military person. So Paul is calling church members to join the pastors as we love and care for one another. When necessary, we need to admonish, to warn, to caution those that fit this idea of the undisciplined. What would it look like today? It may be as simple, and there's lots of ways this could go, but it may be as simple as those that have spiritual gifts, which all believers do, and they are not exercising their gifts in a church family to their own detriment. But it also does not help the church if you've got these wonderful gifts and we don't get to see them and benefit and be blessed from them. So maybe Paul has in mind those that have gifts and they're not participating in the life of the body. He may be even more serious, and because of their undiscipline or their irresponsibility here, maybe they're even more wayward than we know. So a word in love and truth that may be tough. Did you all know it is okay in love to talk to somebody else in this church that may be in a place where they become just a, and we don't have pew sitters. You're only here on Sundays, and we don't see you till the following Sunday. Now, there could be good reasons for that. There could be wonderful reasons for that. But there could be another reason, which means you're indifferent to the life of the church. And if I have somebody that's indifferent to the life of the church, yet they call themselves a body member here, I have every right to love them well, to caution and to warn them by maybe even asking a question. Can I ask, why are you not involved? Why are you not important? And to talk to them. Now listen, folks. People have had to admonish me over the years. Many times. Oh, do I love those people? Oh, did I hate it? You know why I hated it? I didn't see it. They admonished me in love. They cared enough to ask difficult questions. I didn't care about their heart as much as I was offended or ticked off, whatever the case may be. I've watched my wife, sadly, admonish me in love for an area in my life that I have not seen. And just like all of you, I responded very, very well by saying, you're crazy. There's no way that is me. Only to find out at the end of the conversation, and probably backed up by the kids, to say, that is you. It hurt. My pride. This. I'm better than I thought I was. You do know we can think we're better than we are. Admonish one another. Folks, I've said this before. If you find a friend here at Perry Hall Baptist that loves you so much that they're willing in love to share truth in grace with you, you got a real friend. I hope you see that. And even if they misunderstood, which sometimes can happen, love them anyway. Maybe it didn't fit. Maybe they thought it did. Admonish the wayward, if you will, one author calls it. Number two, not only to admonish one another in love, number two, it says to encourage the faint-hearted. I'm not good enough with the Greek to pronounce this multiple syllable word. The first part, it's two words really. This faint-hearted, by the way. Encourage is simple. Comfort, encourage. But the faint-hearted, it's two words, aligou, and this is Greek, and psuche. It means small-souled. Think of that. We are called in love to sometimes admonish with some tough love, and sometimes with some really tender love, to encourage the faint-hearted, to the small-souled, that maybe life is overwhelming to them. Maybe they're timid. Maybe they lack boldness. Maybe they're going through an extended period of heartache or pain. And you and I might say, what is taking so long for this person to get out of that condition? Why are they still grieving? Instead, encourage, comfort the person that their arms aren't quite big enough or broad enough to grasp all the glorious truth of a God who loves them and who cares for them and is anxious to bless them, because they're small-souled. They're having trouble grabbing it. They're faint-hearted. There's so much more to this, folks, but you get the picture. Sometimes we don't need to rush people out of it. We need to just walk with them and love them. I think of my dear sister Pam Priggle and her wonderful work as an instrument of God's love for people as our counselor here at Perry Hall. Some people might come in a month or two sometimes. Boy, Pam, that was really helpful. You really made a difference in my life. God used you. By the way, the only way Pam and I can do what we do is because we know it's all the Lord's work. Otherwise, we get depressed. We feel like we weren't making progress. But sometimes Pam may say, and other biblical counselors, I've been meeting with this person for 2 years, and they still are struggling. Do you know what Pam does? See you next week. Because we encourage, we comfort the faint-hearted, the person that is having trouble grasping the wonderful goodness and awesomeness of God. Help the weak. There's a lot of discussion here. Who are the weak? James uses this same word to talk about sick people, physically sick. After all my studies, I'm not willing to limit this to sick people. I believe the Lord is saying something here about the weak spiritually, emotionally, physically, morally, intellectually. I believe there's a broad principle here that in the church, help, hold up. Do you know anybody that needs you to hold them up right now because they can't stand up? Have you ever been to a place that on your own you could not stand without help? And I'm not simply talking about physically, emotionally, mentally. Have you been to a place where you really needed somebody to hold you up? I have been there. I've watched people come alongside of me and hold me up and help me. And oh, what a wonderful, beautiful picture of God at work through his people. So let's think of weak as anybody that needs help in our midst or in our community. Let's be quick to do that. That's the third. Admonish the idle or the unruly. To encourage the faint-hearted, to hold up or help the weak. Now look at this next one. Be patient with them all. How many of you, like me, occasionally grow impatient when you're trying to help and it doesn't seem to make any difference? Boy, I think of the field you guys are in. You do your work, you do your work, you do your work, and you think, is this ever going to get any better? This community, I don't know that they appreciate us. Especially some of you guys are in schools. We have that in the church, by the way. We aren't always patient with another. Doggone it, would you speed up in your sanctification process? What is taking you so long to get it? It's not that hard. And yet we grow impatient because you spent all this time. I've spent time with men, and after 2 years, they walk away and tell me to get lost. Not by words always, but by actions. And you think, did I waste my time? Oh, no. The Lord is good. I may have just been a seed planter or a waterer. Aren't you glad that you can be a preacher and not even be able to do the English language? Sometimes I have not been patient with my wife. There was a moment I got so mad at Josh, my 19-year-old, and I couldn't tell if he was razzing dad. Part of the curse of being sarcastic and being always jokes. One of the reasons we get along so well. I don't always respond when my kids act just like me. I don't respond well. And Cindy says, you do realize that you raised them and made them this way. And I exasperated Josh, and I committed what Ephesians 6 says. I provoked my son to anger. And so much so that he got emotional. He left the room because my patience had run out with my own son. Thankfully, God intervened. Thankfully, God intervened. No kudos to Dave, but immediately imparted on my heart that I had wronged my son and I needed to go tell him I was sorry. So I went up to his room and we hugged and said, sorry you have that I'm your dad. I love you and I'm sorry I exasperated, provoked you to anger. Forgive me. And he did. It was a sweet moment. I wish I was always patient with you the way I should be. So bear with me as I, like you, learn to be more patient. Finally, looks like this is where we're going to go today. Finally, verse 15. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. This is awesome because in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 24, there's a principle in the Old Testament that eventually becomes known as the principle of lex talionis. Does anybody know that phrase, lex talionis? It's the law of revenge or retribution. Lex simply means law. Talionis means to be revengeful. It's the idea that each crime should be met with equal or greater justice. Let's just say equal justice. It fits the crime. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's Old Testament. In each one of us, there is a remnant of lex talionis. A remnant when somebody wrongs us or does something evil to us, that there's, I'm going to retaliate. Brian shared with me, I hope I get the details correct, but he was sharing about Mark Hall of Casting Crowns. Their bus was stolen, all their stuff on it, and I'm guessing it ended up wrecking. There would be this, boy, would that person, hopefully they'll get their own. You ever thought that? Boy, I hope they get their own, or I'll get them, or we even talk about sweet revenge. And everyone in this room has to be careful. In our unredeemed flesh, there is part of us that wants that. Mark Hall, though, his prayer was for Stacy. Who was Stacy? The one that stole the bus. She, and here's why. She's a soul that desperately needs Jesus. You remember many years ago the mass shooting in Pennsylvania in a school. So many years ago, but in a school. And you remember the news was all over the place, as they should be, with multiple deaths in this mass shooting. It was interesting to watch the news reporters when the families of the little kids that had been murdered were able to say, we're praying for the shooter. There was no way the reporters could make sense of that. It wasn't retaliation, it was love. Christians here, it has changed with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ from the law of lex talionis, an eye for an eye. There's no personal retaliation. You say, Pastor, are you sure this is how you understand this? Well, then simply go to Romans 12. Romans 12, and you will read in verses 14 up through chapter 13, verse 4, that it says, let God be the one that avenges. Now, are we saying that somebody shouldn't face justice? That's not what we're saying at all. We're talking about personal retaliation. This is a beautiful picture. These are the folks that are ordained by God, civil authorities. They have the sword. They bear the sword, not as a danger to the good, but to the evil. They are called by God to execute that role in civil government and to do in due process to bring justice. We believe all that. But Dave does not need to, I don't need to revenge or execute judgment on those that have retaliated against me. We're not talking about self-defense. We're talking about you've been wronged. What is my response? If you still disagree with me, just go read Jesus' words in Matthew 5, 38 to 42. And he said what I just said. Jesus himself. He says the same thing. Turn the cheek. Extra mile. It's a new part of the new order that comes with the work of Christ on the cross that I don't need to get you back for what you did to me. I'll trust God. And by the way, I hope that he does a work in your heart. I'd love for you to have that kind of love. So we'll stop there. This is a beginning, and I'll try to wrap it up all next week. This is this incredible picture of a church family. To admonish the idle or the undisciplined. To encourage the faint-hearted or the small-souled. To help hold up the weak. To be patient across the board. And to let God be judge and use civil authorities as needed, due process. But I'm not going to retaliate. The Bible says that good responds to evil. Now you know why I say this is a radical church movement that God has called us to. Next week we will turn from this relationship of church member to church member. We've done leader to people. This week covers what it looks like in the family, people in church to people in church and to others. Next week we're going to turn our focus on God and close out. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would empower us by your Spirit. We pray, Father, that you would give us the help we need to live this kind of family life. Father, that we would be willing and courageous and humble enough to admonish those that are struggling, those that may be wayward, those that may be shirking their responsibilities within the church. Father, that we would encourage the faint-hearted. Oh, Father, may we not see the faint-hearted or the weak as a burden, but as a blessing to our church, and that we can love them in ways that honor you. And Father, oh, grant us patience. Grant me patience and anyone here that needs work in this area. And Father, may I not retaliate. May I let your means of justice take care of its own purposes. But Father, may I not be that guy that has to get revenge or retaliate against others that have wronged me. Oh, Father, when you do this kind of work, the gospel is on display of a God who died for people that deserve justice. Father, you died for each and every one of us. And if it wasn't for you, we have no hope. It was what we didn't deserve because of our own sin. But in grace, you intervened in our lives. Father, may we see that gospel truth as a beautiful picture of that gospel lived out in our lives. May we welcome admonition. May we be the first to encourage the faint-hearted. May we run to help. May we be patient. Father, may we forgive quickly. Father, be honored today in this word that we have read and studied. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us?
Good day. Yeah. This Friday, the 13th, I believe it is, and Sunday, the 15th, we will gather together with folks that are looking to join our church. If you're not a member, we invite you to Friday night dinner and some time together, and again on Sunday afternoon after church. If you're not sure about membership or joining, it is okay. Please come and hang out with us. If you don't think membership's important, please come and hang out with us. This message today, I hope you see, is one of the reasons I believe so much in a covenant membership, because it's a commitment to say, count me in on this, Pastor. I want to be part of that compelling community. Lord, take us out of here. May you be honored with all that we said. Father, may we be encouraged today. May you do your perfect work in each heart here today. May we celebrate you, Lord, and may we tell somebody about Jesus this week. In his name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.